Hi everyone, this is the History Girl, and today I'm going to read to you my latest article, titled Built to Inspire, the James Library Building in Madison, New Jersey. In 1899, philanthropist D. Willis James wanted to give back to the community where he owned a summer home. Neatly placed homes and shops lined the streets of Madison, New Jersey at the turn of the century. School children and young adults found sanctuary at the public school on Green Street and Drew Theological Seminary on Madison Avenue. However, the small community lacked a proper library for children and adults to better themselves. This encouraged James to build a suitable structure to inspire and educate the young and old. The building served its purpose well and eventually outgrew its space. Over 100 years later, this former library still serves in an educating capacity, incorporating and instilling values and lessons from the past into everyday life, inspiring thought and understanding within its walls. The land where the James Library stands was originally a vacant green space designated park on an 1886 Sanborn map. James purchased the property for $65,000 and on January 27, 1899, officially announced his plans for building a library in Madison. James was concerned for the people of Madison and believed that a free library would be a means of public enjoyment and benefit. This was not his first gift to the community. He donated James Park at the intersection of Kings Road and Madison Avenue in 1887. Born in 1832 in Liverpool, England, James was a very religious and charitable man. He was born into a family of merchants. He attended school in Scotland and then moved to New York to enter the family business. As the economy of the United States grew, and the Industrial Revolution began to transform sleepy villages into industrial villages, James' metal importing company saw much success. He became a wealthy industrial capitalist with interests in mining companies and several railroads. James was very generous with his wealth, reflecting his strong moral upbringing. He was a trustee and president of the Children's Aid Society of New York, a director of the Union Theology Society, and a trustee of Amherst College. He donated to the American Museum of Natural History, Metropolitan Museum of Art, and American Geographical Society. In 1854, James married Ellen Stebbins Curtis, and together they had one child, Arthur Curtis James, who eventually followed in his father's footsteps. They resided in Manhattan and in 1885 built a summer estate in Madison, on the corner of Lantaco Way and Madison Avenue. James died in 1907, and the estate stayed in the family until 1916, when it was sold to Geraldine R. Dodge. James' legacy in Madison did not end with his death. Although the building did not bear his name, and no plaque inside indicated that it was built by him, he left reminders in the subtle detail of this magnificent building. Built in the Richardson Romanesque style, it features a cruciform, or cross-shaped floor plan, a large rough stone on the exterior, semicircular arches, long narrow windows, groin vaults, carved cornices, and a tower. The building was designed by New England architects Willard Adden and Charles Brigham. Brigham is best known for his work on large civic buildings, including several libraries in New England, a large addition to the Massachusetts State House, and the Christian Science Church in Boston. Brigham and Adden also designed the James Building together, located across the street from the James Library. Ground was broken for the construction of the library on February 24, 1899. By November, the building was entirely enclosed and interior work commenced. Prior to this, on September 15th, a 1,560-pound clock bell arrived at the site. On November 17th, the clock bell was hoisted in position, and almost 1 month later, on December 15th, rang for the first time. Today, the Seth Thomas clock still runs on its original weights, and it was electrified in 1991. The granite stone for the building was mined and sent directly via train from Norcross Brothers' Stony Creek Quarry in Branford, Connecticut. Although the stone material was not mined in New Jersey, many local tradesmen had a part in the building's construction. John B. Corbett, a Madison native, was the builder and mason. He also built the James Building across the street and the YMCA building across Main Street. The electric wires and fixtures were installed by Edwin P. Felch. Electricity was still very new at this time, and the library was very fortunate to have this luxury, including 8 chandeliers and 250 light bulbs, illuminating the interior on opening day. Charles E. Cook, another Madison resident, oversaw the construction site and acted as the liaison between James and the tradesmen. No expense was spared on the interior of the library. The library contained a large basement containing a periodical room, the main floor, and second level in the gallery. 20-foot ceilings giving the building a cavernous feel and allow for light to be filtered in through 56 painted and stained glass windows. The stained glass windows were designed by Arthur B. Cutter, a decorator, stained glass painter, and fresco painter from Boston. A majority of his work was for residential homeowners, but he worked with Brigham on a number of public buildings. The stained glass windows include quotes from philosophers, authors, and poets such as Longfellow and Shakespeare, and religious influences such as minister Theodore Parker and the Bible. Other inspirational quotes were painted onto the simple brick walls and embedded into the mantles of the library's 3 fireplaces. Dark wood flooring, intricate trim, and elegantly carved woodwork and doors can be found throughout. Of particular interest is the mezzanine level of the gallery floor, which is made of glass to allow the light to shine through on the stacks below. The building itself was completed in roughly 8 months and filled 6 months later on May 30, 1900, when it was opened to the public for the first time at 10 a.m. 2 days later, on June 1, 1900, the library building officially opened for business. The library opened with 4,500 volumes on its shelves. The first book borrowed was American Commonwealth, Volume 1, by Mrs. James A. Webb, a trustee of the library. Newspaper accounts of the time marveled at the building's elegant and grand construction. A letter to the editor of the Madison Eagle, published on September 28, 1900, demonstrates one community member's fascination and appreciation for the new crown jewel of the community. And I quote, "The building's interior appeals to the finer senses, soothes and interests the wearied mortal until all sense of the outer world has departed. To be allowed to pass inside the gated enclosure and handle the beautiful bindings, turn the brightly decorated leaves of the rows and rows of books, is equivalent to being turned loose amid countless brilliant gems and precious stones." Once the library opened, James continued to provide funding from the income he earned from his commercial block built directly across the street. By the 1960s, the library was outgrowing its space and was looking for a new modern building to house its collection. A new library was built on Keep Street and opened February 1969. About the same time, Edgar and Agnes Land approached the borough of Madison, requesting to use the vacated library as a museum. The Lands were collectors of 18th and 19th century objects, most with the New Jersey provenance. They wanted to educate others about the lives of ordinary people, farmers, artisans, and craftspeople who settled in New Jersey. On February 18, 1969, the Museum of Early Trades and Crafts was incorporated. Since then, the original collection has grown to over 8,000 artifacts. For over 40 years, the museum continues the original mission of educating the public about New Jersey's 18th and 19th century artisans and their trades through programs and permanent and temporary exhibitions. The library was added to the State and National Registers of Historical Places in 1979 and 1980, respectively. The museum and the borough of Madison embarked on a $1 million renovation and restoration project in 1996, updating all mechanical systems, adding air conditioning, and making the building handicap accessible by adding an atrium addition with an elevator and ground level entrance. These improvements enabled the building to serve greater audience and added to the overall protection of artifacts and comfort of visitors. The building reopened its doors to the public on October 4, 1997, in hopes of inspiring the next generation of historians, thinkers, and leaders.